on the next episode of Sips, Suds, and Smokes.
One of the most common questions that I get is, what do I like to drink casually? Most people think it's whiskey, and yet, hands down, easily, by volume, it is gin. Today's episode features a double brand takeover from Freeland Spirits, and Waymar Gin is what we're going to go over today.
Yeah, so there's really great gin from both of these brands. And the first will be Waymar. So we're going to go over the Signature Dry Gin, the Amontillado Sherry Cask Finish Gin, the Vino de Naranja Finish Gin, and the Manzanilla Sherry Cask Finish Gin. And after that, we're going to go over stuff from Freeland Spirits. So we're going to do the traditional Freeland Gin, the Freeland Pink Gin, the Freeland Forest Gin, and then the Freeland Dry Gin.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. I am one of your hosts here at the table. This is good old boy Mike. Sitting here at the table with me is good old boy Sparky.
I use Beefeater as aftershave.
What? So on like weekdays, weekends, just... Monday, yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, all through the week.
All right.
Actually, yeah.
Well, it sounds like a plan, sort of.
It is.
Not really. Also, here joining me at the table is good old boy Michael.
How we doing? I only make martinis with it. I'm weird.
Well, apparently it's used as a shaving ritual for
Sparky. Why not both? Yeah.
Multi-use. I'll consider it.
Also joining me here at the table is good old boy Moss.
I'm surprised both of y'all are still alive because I use Beefeater to start my motorcycle sometimes.
Oh. Do you inhale or exhale as part of that process?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both.
Well, there we go. Well, I wanted to tell you a little bit about good old boy Michael as some background. And he's an author, a very well-published author, and always loves to talk about a lot of things. So you might catch him on some other episodes as well. My favorite book you've written is called Garden to Glass.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Some good gin drinks in there for sure.
And just a ton of great topics. He has his own podcast as well called the Liquid Gold. I always mess that up.
Indefinite hiatus.
But, you know, you have a lot of great gin cocktail, shows on your back catalog as well.
Oh, definitely.
So If you don't like what we're talking about, go check out his stuff, to talk about it as well. Moss is the executive director of a wonderful fraternal organization called Whiskey House Nashville, and we both spend quite a bit of time. We're actually recording here at Whiskey House Nashville today, so thank you very much for letting us record here today. We work very hard to raise a lot of money for our community, and we use whiskey to do that. So it's a creative twist.
Absolutely.
Some days it feels like it works.
I think it's working more days than not now. I will say that I do agree with you on one thing. This is still a crazy idea, and I think you're insane for starting it. So,
well, somebody has to do the stupid, challenging things. I don't know. I just raised my hand at that moment. So, speaking of doing stupid, crazy things, Sparky oversees his tribe. And do you just walk around with unleavened bread in your pockets all day long?
Just one week out of the year. Yeah.
So do Jews have like an emergency non-leavened bread pack to just, at that moment, they I feel the suffering coming on. I need to have
a... Yeah, it's, I think it's available for not only emergency rations, but also to soak up spills. It's really, really helpful. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Some people use wipes. Other people use other things. Our sip segments are all about wine, mezcal, whiskey, scotch, and today we're talking about gin, one of my favorite topics. So, can we just sit here and like sip quietly instead of talking? I actually think it might make for probably better radio. Yeah?
Yeah. We can try.
I'm here for that.
Banned once again.
Yeah. So one of the most common questions that I get is, what do I like to drink casually? Most people think it's whiskey, and yet hands down, easily, by volume, it is gin for sure. I definitely make more cocktails with gin. A Corpse Reviver number 2, anyone today? Yeah. Mm. That's the way this should probably get started. Today's episode features a double brand takeover from Freeland Spirits, and Waymar Gin is what we're going to go over today. Moss has the lineup for today's episode.
Yeah, so there's really great gin from both of these brands. And the first will be Waymar. So we're going to go over the Signature Dry Gin, the Amontillado Sherry Cask Finish Gin, the Vino de Naranja Finish Gin, and the Manzanilla Sherry Cask Finish Gin. And after that, we're going to go over stuff from Freeland Spirits. So we're going to do just the traditional Freeland gin, the Freeland pink gin, the Freeland forest gin, and then the Freeland dry gin.
Thank you very much.
So we're going to go over these various products and then give our globally recognized opinions. Mike thinks it's a 1, and that really is a globally recognized hand gesture. We'll be rating these gins with our sip suds and smokes ratings from 1 to 5, with 5 being the best, plus our signature sound. So, for example, 4 would be, let's keep this a secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
If you are a gin newbie or maybe just intimidated by tonic and gin versus gin and tonic, fret not. We've got you covered on our Gin 101 episode where all of this gin speak will be decoded. Just search for Sips Suds Gin 101, and that episode should pop right up, or follow the link on our show notes. Also, don't miss our blockbuster hit episode, The Big Gin Taste-Off.
The Big Gin Taste-Off.
Featuring a global taste-off of 500-plus gins down to our top 10. Are you guys okay? It was epic, and Sparky and Mike are just now completing therapy almost 5 years later.
Are you down to, like, one day a week of therapy after that happened?
Sometimes I wake up and sweats in the middle of the night with thinking that Juniper's attacking me, and it's just a dream.
Do you still keep like an emergency bottle like right by your bed? I mean, it's just in case, you know, the DTs start to step in and you're like, I need to smell Juniper.
I don't think I'm clean yet.
Well, it was really a lot of fun. Great episode. I actually did go back and listen to that, a little bit of that recently, and it's a crazy idea, much like many things we do here on Sip, Sud, and Smokes. Definitely check it out. Well, you know what? It's time to head down to Memphis. That's right, Memphis, home of the blues, and also of Waymar Gin. Here's some background on Waymar. This less than brilliant idea started with the brothers Jack and Henry Perkins. I had a chance to actually meet with Henry in person. So they were working in a liquor store in Oxford, Mississippi, and saw all these new brands and thought they could probably do the same. The brothers hooked up with Macaulay Williams, who I actually knew from Blue Note Whiskey, and it was instrumental in not stepping on some common startup landmines. They leased a place on, guess what? Waymar Drive. What? Yes.
That's crazy.
So they actually decided that the road name actually sounded better than yet another marketing meaning. And well, whammo, there you go.
At least it's not I-40 gin or something.
Yeah, Waymar Drive.
State Route, of course, 155, you know, gin. Yes.
So they actually... Yeah. So What is the most distinctive thing, you know, that you could possibly do with gin? I guess it would be to barrel finish them. So that's what they've done here. I still actually cringe when somebody says it's a barrel-aged gin. It's like, is this really a thing? You know, yes, I know. Sparky's like, he's nodding his head. This is probably not a thing. So can we actually leave the wood out of it with, you know, such a clean and elegant beverage? You know, do we have to bring, you know, other things into it, like, you know, wood? So this is actually not the same thing as, because this is actually finishing barrels. So the gin, it's not really barrel-aged, but it's barrel-finished. Okay, so I'm gonna, the difference is usually time. I'll actually declare the demarcation point is 6 months. So less than 6 months, it's barrel-finished, and more than 6 months, dude, seriously, you're aging it, you know, at that point. So
fair.
Old time is something completely different, and we actually cover that in the 101 episode, mm-hmm. if you want to go back and take a look at that. So it's a little bit about Waymar Gin and, you know, some of their decision-making. We'll be right back right after this message.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sips, Suds, and Smokes. On today's episode, we are doing a Sips episode that is covering gin, and specifically a double brand takeover that we're covering some products from Waymar Gin and Freeland Spirits, and we were just kind of getting into some background with Waymar, and we were ready to talk about our very first product from Waymar as well. Go ahead, Moss. Yeah. Tell us all about it.
So for the sake of time, we're going to talk about these barrel finish products, and the signature dry gin is pretty average and a solid for three of us. A solid for the three of us. A good canvas to paint on with nothing really distracting. So let's swing the conversation to the Amontillado Sherry Cask Finish Gin. And keep in mind that all of these products are at 92 proof. So this first one, this Amontillado Sherry, this is coming out of Jerez, Spain.
Ah, he got it. Oh, I'm sorry. There we go.
I did. I know things. from the Andalusia region. This one's going to be aged for 7 months, which is, again, right on that edge of being finished or barrel aged. But we're right over that mark at 7 months. And this is an Spanish oak. Is what the wood that is aged in. So, you know, as somebody who's from, I was born in Memphis, I got to say, I'm really excited about these products. They do a really, really good job. So let's embrace that harmonious fusion of tradition and innovation with this unique spirit. I think it's an exquisite American gin aged for that 7 months in that Amontillado Sherry cask. The expression presents a symphony of complex flavors, blending the gin's botanical crispness with the dark, fruity body and subtle nutty notes of the Amontillado Sherry. Mm,
I smell marketing BS.
Yeah.
Haruga. Well,
I like wood-aged gin. I think it's fantastic. The ideal for the connoisseur seeking a gin experience beyond the ordinary, each batch is a testament to the artistry of cask finishing and the timeless allure of Spanish sherry.
Well, you know, I think the one thing that always jumps out at me when somebody is using sherry is get ready for the flavor freight train to just mow over whatever's going on. And I think it's because, you know, so many, especially Scotch products are finished off
in
sherry barrels. Yeah. And it's very common. And, you know, it's one of these, is it, you know, sherry with whiskey or is it whiskey with sherry? You know, because it seems like whatever it is, the sherry is going to be there and just bludgeon anything. I mean, it's just so usually so sweet and so overbearing. It's really difficult to kind of strike some balance, you know, with sherry and the underlying base, be it scotch or in this case with gin.
Yeah, I like sherry. I like to cook with it a lot frequently. But that's kind of where I, you know, hold both handles and prepare for the impact of sherry on it. And of course, you don't know, you know, was this going to be a drier or fruitier sherry, you know, on it. And for this one, I think I was saying I kept going back and forth between the OG, just plain dry gin, and this kind of, you know, what all did this add to it? And
take away,
right? Yeah. So I mean, the wood was right on the front end of it, and then the baseball bat of sherry that came in right behind it, which was not a bad thing. I mean, I think it was balanced, but I would love to know what type of Amontillado they used for this one, what barrels those were, but
yeah, they didn't disclose that, but you know, I think that most people, it's like once you hear it's sherry, it's like you could name, you know, what version of sherry, and I don't think that they would really even, you know, have a lot of distinction. I actually meant to look up, I want to say there's like 7 different varieties of sherry. At least that's kind of in my mind. Mike's nodding his head.
Yeah, I think there's what? Fino, Manzanilla, Amontillado,
Oloroso.
Oloroso. Mm-hmm. And then Pedro Jimenez.
Yep.
And then I think
there's also Sherry Johnson. I took her to senior prom in 95.
Yeah, I could.
Banned once again.
She didn't like you having all the crackers in your pocket. No, so.
That's true.
Well, I mean, Mike, how do you feel when somebody says they're working with wood, you know, with gin? I mean, is there...
There's only been a few that I've tasted over the years that I really liked. The Ransom Gin, I used to really like that one. Yeah. Locally, Corsair does a pretty good job with their barrel-aged gin. But... I usually go for, that clean, crisp, pure gin. But I think this was a good idea using the different sherry casks because they all are so different and they're going to bring out so many different things, like the oranges that are in the Vino de Noronha. So I think it did a lot of interesting things to the gin, but I hate to say I'm a bit of a purist on the gin.
Moss, do you think that they hit kind of the balance, you know, right with this one?
Yeah, I too have also had a lot of barrel aged gins in my life, and I mean I would agree that most of them are not great. I think that gin, you know, generally needs to stay without the wood. But having said that, I thought that these were excellent options if that's what you're looking for. And I would go so far as to say I enjoy these. I think this is a really great gin on its own. All three of them. You know, I think the only other one I've had in my life that I really thought was pretty good for the price was actually the Monk's Road from Logstill.
Hmm. That's been around a lot longer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
These are fairly new on the market, and I haven't seen any other gins with these particular finishing barrels.
So. No, I haven't either. And you know, I usually come into things as a skeptic. So, you know, my first thought is, oh, we've got a distillery startup and they're going to make vodka. What? That's crazy. and then they're like, you know, we're going to get a little bit fancy. We're going to try, throw some botanicals in there. Now it's gin. And then, wow, this is terrible gin. We're going to put it in a barrel.
While I'm in the middle of doing one thing really bad, I'll do two things bad at the same time.
And I don't get that feel from this, but that's usually my first thing, like, oh, it's a new distillery, oh, I see what you've done, you've tried to hide it in the barrel. And that's fortunately not the case here, but I've definitely had some barrel aged gins that were like, well, that's, you're wearing a barrel and there's nothing underneath the barrel.
Well, let's rate up this Amontillado and move on to the next product. What's your rating there, Moss?
I gave this one a 4 out of 5, actually.
Okay. All right. We're going to give it a 3 collectively.
Interesting.
And Sparky's going to tell us about the next product.
All right. Next up, we've got the Vino di Naranja cask finished gin.
Wow, man. He really nailed that.
Jerez, Spain.
Even rolled his R's and everything. Wow.
And guess what region is, guys? Andalusia. It's been aged for 7 months in American oak. This exceptional gin has been patiently aged for 7 months in the Vino di Noronha casks, an aromatic Spanish orange sweet wine. Through the lengthy maturation process, our gin is infused with the vibrant sun-kissed essence of Andalusian oranges, blending beautifully with the gin's botanical notes, enhanced with the allure of the Mediterranean summer. While I'm wading through it now, guys, this expression of the perfect choice for those seeking a gin with layers of complexity and a bright citrusy twist.
So one of the things that I had to do with this is I really wanted to make a cocktail with a couple of these. And, you know, they had a lot of recipes that were there on our website, but they were all made with Signature Dry, not with any of these barrel finish products. And I'm kind of tasting these and I'm like, you know, I really would, you know, kind of like to know what somebody would do with these, you know, in a cocktail presentation. And, you know, I started playing around with it with some standard, you know, cocktail, you know, gin, you know, products. And I just felt like I was missing the mark. And so I actually dropped a note off to Henry, and I'll tell you all about that after the break.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sips, Suds, and Smokes. On today's Sips episode, we are covering gin, finally. We talk about this all the time. Could have like a four-hour show. Today we're doing a double brand takeover, talking about three gins from Waymar. And the other three are from Freeland Spirits. And we were just kind of talking about this Vino de Rana, and talking a little bit about what to do with this. And so I was talking about, I had sent a note back to Henry Perkins, who's one of the founders with his brother. What would you do with this, you know, in a cocktail? And he sent me back a couple of interesting recipes. And one that was done with this was doing it in a Negroni. And that really made a lot of sense to me right off the bat. Okay. Is that there's an overtone of orange, you know, kind of on this. And that really made a lot of sense because that's really what you're trying to, you know, produce when you're doing a really good Negroni, is the aroma and essence of, you know, the orange rind is really should almost be kind of the leading element of what you're, every time you pick up the glass, I mean, your nose should go, ah, you know, it's an orange, and yet there's nothing, there's no orange in the cocktail itself. So, you know, I started thinking about that, and I'm like, well, okay, so one thing is I'm not going to use an orange peel, you know, to make this Negroni. And because this is a bit sweeter, I actually usually make my Negronis with aperitivo and Campari to kind of split and reduce the bitterness down.
Oh, interesting.
But this time I actually just made it with Campari and dropped the Campari like half the, you know, normal pour that I would have on it. So, and kind of let the sweetness of this kind of step into it. You know, it was pretty good. I don't know that it was probably my favorite thing, you know, that I probably would go back to it again and again. I've made probably 40 different recipes easily, you know, with Negronis, and I don't know that this one would be, you know, probably maybe in my top 10, but I thought it was an interesting, you know, conversation. Mike, you had an idea of another cocktail you thought would work with this really quick.
Yeah, there's a cocktail called the Tuxedo that I believe, that could be lore, but I believe Frank Sinatra was into that cocktail. It's a good martini variation where you can do like 2 ounces of gin and an ounce of sherry. One of the dry sherries, like a Fino or Manzanilla. So the gin that I'm about to talk about would be a really good candidate for it, but the Naranja also I think would be really good in, you know, kind of a sherry martini riff. It'd be good and strong.
Yeah, I think you have to pay attention to what the barrel finish is bringing into, you know, to the taste profile, and make sure that you're not putting it with something that's working against it, or mm-hmm. you're doubling up, you know? Yeah. So, yeah. Moss is nodding his head, and I trust all the really poor decisions that I make with making a drink that Moss is going to fix it a lot better.
It's not every day I agree with Mike, but we're doing it right
this
now.
This is one of those days.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Well, very interesting product for sure. Let's rate this up and move along here. So, yep, I think so as well.
Interesting.
We're going to rate that a 3 out of 5 as well. Well, next up is the product Michael's going to tell us all about, which is the Manzanilla.
Yeah, this one comes from Sanlúcar, Spain, in the Andalusia region. It's finished in Spanish oak for 7 months. It has been indeed masterfully aged in the Manzanilla sherry casks, offering a delightful journey of taste. With its light, crisp, and slightly dry profile, the resulting spirit is a sophisticated blend of traditional gin botanicals, all harmoniously intertwined with the subtle, briny notes of the Manzanilla sherry. Infused with the unique charm of Manzanilla sherry, this expression is perfect for those who appreciate a gin with a distinctive, refined edge. And yeah, Manzanilla is probably my favorite sherry, so I really like this gin.
I would say this was my favorite of the three as well. And I think I kept going back and forth between it and the original. I'm glad you provided that as kind of the reference point on it. But there was, it's funny, I didn't have the description in front of me, but I wrote down, like, it wasn't quite salty, but there was still this kind of funky thing. And when they say briny, I guess that's kind of where it was. But I was really thrown off. I kept looking at my glass, like, what, did I put something in here? Was this, was this previously a dirty martini? What was going on here? But then I figured it out. So, yeah.
Moss, what did you think about this?
I thought it was delicious. Just going back on all three of them, they did a really, really good job with these finishes. I think this one was a tie for my favorite with the Amontillado sherry, actually.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, I think that definitely in terms of, you know, the decision of how long they ran these barrel finishes, I think they actually make some really good choices. Maybe got away from them just a little bit, but of all the ones we're tasting here, this is my favorite in the flight as well. When I sat down and tasted them for the first time, you know, that one stood out to me. I'm like, I like the Manzanilla a lot. I've definitely not had a gin finish with that. I have had a Scotch and from Scotland, as well as another whiskey product from India that was finished in Manzanilla, but never a gin. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good, just straight up neat. I don't think I would probably dump this in a cocktail. It's too complex. You know, I think you would be missing out on the experience of what's in the bottle.
I think that's really my challenge, because I love to make cocktails. And with these barrel, well, really two pieces, these barrel finished gins, I do struggle, you know, do I want to steamroller with all these other flavors? You know, what's it going to enhance? And then also the PTSD from all of the damn barrel-aged stuff you made us taste during the 500 gin tastings. So, because I swear to God, there was one of them in there that was made with rusty balsa wood or something. I'm not sure, and I'm still in recovery.
Yeah, there were some interesting things in that lineup for sure. Well, let's rate this up, guys. Yeah, I think for sure a 4 out of 5.
That's classified.
Very interesting concept, and Waymar is definitely expanding. So if you have the opportunity to taste these, form your own opinion and tell us that we have no idea what we're talking about. I look forward to that moment. So for sure. Well, let's head out west, like way west for sure. But if you're going to do that, you really need to know how to pay attention to one important thing.
All right, let's turn back to our forecast now with meteorologist Katie Zuniga. She's keeping a close eye on the rain, not only that we're getting today, but the heavy rain and the large amounts of it we're going to be getting over the next couple of days. It's going to have a big impact.
Yes, and it's the reason we've called 2 first alert days, because we're getting a month's worth of rain. So in March, we get just under, it's like 3.97 inches of rain for
that
the month.
That's
and we're looking to get at least 3 3/4, maybe even 4 inches of rain from basically today through Friday. So that is a lot of rain. rain to be getting in such a short amount of time. Because of that, we have First Alert Wednesday.
Yep, that's right. You're headed to the land of no sunshine. I actually once spent an entire winter in Oregon and had absolutely no sunshine for over 100 days. We're going to be talking about Freeland spirits. We gushed on them already on an episode called 18 Gins in a Blind and fanboyed on former distiller Molly Troop. She's actually moved on to making perfume, but she left the legacy of some really great products behind at Freeland Spirits. So this is actually still an all-female distilling team, which is that's kind of cool. And this gin product line continues to evolve as well. We reviewed the Freeland Spirits Dry Gin on that other episode that I just mentioned with the sips rating 4.
That's classified.
Really amazing. And while the juniper is the focal point of that particular version, the rest of the product line is actually more tempered with juniper, along with kind of plenty of other botanicals, you know, that they get to play with that are kind of all around their backyard. And, you know, so I think that's what the real challenge is that I find a lot of people are doing with gin is to try and use, you know, things that are indigenous to where they're actually making a lot of these products. And I think some of my favorite gins, that's what they're doing, is they're just going off the back porch and picking some things up. It's kind of like the same way that Scratch does with brewing, you know?
Yeah, or find something on the side of the road and now it's in your gin. No, wait, no, that's, sorry.
What kind of gin do you call this? Well, this is roadkill. We call this Thursday roadkill. So,
grass clipping.
You know what? If you don't like it, just flip it to the other side. It'll taste a lot better on the other side. So, you know, that's what they'd make in Arkansas.
The terroir is
very, that's right. That's what they'd make in Arkansas. It's called Arkansas gin. We'll be right back after this.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, welcome back to Sips, Suds, and Smokes. On today's Sips episode, we are going through some gin for sure. Wow, this is such a great lineup. We're having three gins from Waymar and three gins from Freeland Spirits. And I was just talking a little bit about Freeland Spirits. Moss is going to tell us about the first product that we're going to get to taste and rate.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So the Freeland Spirits gin is this elegant and well-balanced product, and so here's some info from them. Freeland Spirits gin is a small batch crafted using a unique blend of traditional heat distillation along with vacuum distillation, which allows us to use fresh Pacific Northwest ingredients. Fresh herbal essences of rosemary, mint, and crisp cucumber lift the nose. Grapefruit and lemon peel brighten the brisk juniper and bold spice. Pink peppercorn, coriander, and star anise mingle with 10 additional dried botanicals in the copper pot still. And your ABV is going to come in at 45%.
Sparky, what did you think about this one?
So, you know, again, I'm a London dry guy. And when I see American dry gins, I always, you know, kind of get my hackles up a little bit where we're getting to. But I have to tell you, I love this. It was so well balanced. It was so unique. You got the spiciness of the peppercorns. And then really, beyond the juniper, you really got that kind of more of that evergreen flavor that I've got some Douglas fir eau de vie that I have. And I don't know where I picked it up, but it kind of
Clear Creek, right?
Yeah, yeah, it was Clear Creek. Yeah,
that's good stuff.
And it kind of gave me a vibe of that. But I was just really, I'm happy to say I was wrong. And I really enjoyed it. It was quite excellent. And then at the very end, the citrus kind of finished it all off. And I love that part too. That was really good.
Mm. Michael, what did you think about this one?
I really like this one. You can see how she went into perfume after this because the aroma, there's a lot going on. So it kind of hits some of the traditional gin notes with the juniper, but I like that it's more of a reflection of that area of the country, like the Northwest. Just feels like you're driving through the forest.
It really does. And, you know, that's the thing that I really love about this is I think they captured so much the essence of their backyard so well, you know, with this particular product. I have literally had gallons and gallons and gallons of this gin, and I've made it with so many different cocktails, and I enjoy it neat. It's just really good, and it's really kind of holding well in a very short list of when somebody says American gin. To me, this is a great, like St. George's products, you know, Baton d'Or,
for sure,
you know, really jump out, you know, really quick. And I really think these particular products are going to really be able to stand the test of time, and I think a lot of people will enjoy these for a very long period of time. So Moss, real quick, what'd you think about this?
I mean, I don't have much to add on what you said. I think you know, walking through the forest is kind of how I feel about it too, and the nose is just really fantastic. And you know, you're making a good point too. A lot of your normal stand-up gins that people have at their house are from Europe.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to have an American one that's just really fantastic, and along with additional products in the line as well. So
yeah, for sure. Well, let's rate this up, everybody. Wow, how about that? A sips rating of 5. Really fantastic. This is one of the more widely distributed products, you know, in the lineup. So you should be able to find very descriptive bottle, kind of a teardrop shape.
Yeah, beautiful
blue.
Bottle.
Yeah, yep. Really great packaging for sure. Sparky's going to tell us all about the pink gin.
All right, so they found their audience and expanded to styles of gin that other domestic distillers seem to pass over, and enter the Freeland pink gin. Some more info on this from Freeland directly. Our pink gin is a brilliantly rose-hued spirit crafted to stand out in every pour. Created in honor of Women's History Month, this limited seasonal release delivers vivid natural color and crisp, juicy flavor that transforms even the most simplest cocktail into something striking. Built on a grounded foundation of traditional gin botanicals, this expression layers classic juniper with horsehound, marshmallow root, and turmeric for depth and warmth. White peony tea and Pacific Northwest huckleberries lend brambly brightness, while honey and agave add gentle, rounded sweetness. Roto-vaped lemon balm lifts the profile with a fresh, herbaceous citrus glow. Its natural blush, achieved with a touch of carmine, creates effortlessly eye-catching cocktails and no extra embellishment required. The result is a tangy, floral, and beautifully balanced, with personality as bold as its hue, with an ABV of 45.
Moss, what did you think about this one?
Generally speaking, when I see pink gin, I get scared. So I was very delighted to try this one and find that I very much enjoyed it. I thought it was very sweet a little bit, but no more than you'd want a gin to be. And I really, really can't say enough about how just fresh it is. I thought it was fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, I was wondering if I had to put a dress on to, you know, drink this gin.
So you do that. Still make you do that, that happen, anyway, Mike. I mean, don't.
We won't tell whether or not you're wearing one right now.
I don't know. You know, I'm sorry, but it just
or Moo Moo, if you will.
It's like, you know, this is a chick beverage, you know, and yet if I step away from all of that, I really enjoyed what was in the glass, you know, and so. Well, I think they've engineered something very well for, I think, the female consumer of this. I love this. Michael, what do you think about it?
Yeah, I think it's really cool. I think it's a smart thing to do for them because it's trying to, I think, convert non-gin drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's both, I think, what's good about it, but also what the only kind of negative thing I'd say about it is I don't think it needs the extra sweetness. I think it's really good. It would be really good to taste it without that. So, but yeah, I think it's really cool.
I think they were grinding on this recipe for a very long time because when they look at the ingredients they chose to use, these are not things you can naturally put together. I mean, I felt like, you know, they had to go through probably like 50 different recipes, you know, in this to, you know, probably get it right. And it's just, It's like, okay, you know,
you're deep in there when you're like, I need some whorehound in this.
You know, sure, what? You know. And some cowbell.
Yeah.
Throw it in there.
For sure.
Well, let's rate this up real quick. Oh, a 4. How about that? Well, we only have 1 minute left, and Michael, why don't you tell us real quick about the Forest Inn? We'll rate it up, and then we'll close things.
Well, if you've ever had the chance to drive around Oregon in a convertible with all of the windows down, there is the refreshing scent of trees and the land and the mist. We think they captured that in this next gin. This is the Freeland Forest Gin. Portland's Forest Park is just 5 blocks from their distillery and is one of the country's largest urban forest reserves. While Freeland's Blue Bottle Gin features the best of Oregon's farm fields, our Forest Gin showcases ingredients that grow right in our backyard woods, including chanterelle mushrooms, Douglas fir tips, salal berries, and nettles, all of which have been distilled on the RotoVap to preserve their freshness. This gives our Forest Gin the same all-encompassing quality of a trip to the woods. I loved this.
Mm. I did too, and you know, it kind of threw me after just tasting their base level gin going to this. It was really well balanced.
Incredible.
You know, I thought it did some of the same thing that St. George does, where it's like, oh wow, we're going to do something that, you know, so let's rate this up real quick. Wow, how about that? We're going to give it a 4.
That's classified.
Really interesting, and I'm sorry we didn't have more time to chat about that last product. Really great lineups, I think, from both. Yeah?
Yeah, really good stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, a really great time today here on Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I want to thank our co-host for being here. Thank you for joining us, Sparky.
Great to be here.
Still have crackers left over, man?
I am one.
Good old boy, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good old boy Moss, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
We have plenty more time. We're going to be able to sip gin, you know, for a while.
Are you going
to
wear a dress for that too? Or?
You know, only by request, Moss. Just for you, man. What color are you looking for?
White. This pink color.
I was going to say, got pink that matches another one.
Well, this is Good Old Boy Mike asking you to come back and join us for another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. Definitely check out our back catalog with hundreds and hundreds of other product reviews. I will ask you to keep on sipping.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions,
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.